Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How's that sound level?
Good.
All right. Okay. We are going to be picking up our study. It seems like we've been absent here for a long time. I hope you all had a nice Christmas and a happy new year, and we're started out on a brand new one, so let's be thankful for that. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 5, and the target study is chapter 5, verses 21 through 33. I don't know that we'll get through all of that, but we'll go as far as we can, see how the Lord leads on us, and we'll just submit it to Him. So I'd like to have two people read here, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 21 down through 28, and then Ephesians 5, verses 29 through 33. So two to read, two volunteers, 21 through 27, 28 through 33. Okay, Jim. And who's got the second one? Elaine. Very good. Thank you.
Submitting to one another in the fear of God, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own.
For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother, and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Father, thank you so much for just the privilege to be meeting together here this morning with freedom and with beautiful facilities, just being together, the fellowship that we have in Christ. And so we just come to you looking to your word and the Holy Spirit, who indeed is the one who teaches. The Holy Spirit is the only teacher of the word. Help me, Lord, not to be in the way, not to encumber this in any way, but just to speak the word of God. May you bless this time. May it all please you. We submit it to you with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be talking about this wives, submit to your husbands. That's always like, okay, who wants to teach that? And I've always felt that in the times when I have heard the teaching of this passage, it always seems to me like the teaching is very one-sided. It's just not balanced in general. Not always, but I'm going to do my best this morning to try to balance what this is saying. And I want you to know that as we go through this passage, there are two words in the Greek that are translated the same, essentially the same, into the English version. Submit and submitting are the only differences in the English translation, but there are two Greek words that are involved. One of the Greek words is on the second line of your questions here. What does submit mean? In Hebrews 13:17, we have one of those words defined. So would somebody look up that Hebrews 13:17?
Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you.
Okay, so the definition of the word submit in that verse is using the Greek word that means to be aware of someone who is over you, who is going to give an account to the Lord for you. Now that's something that we don't normally talk too much about. But you need to understand that as we go through the words submit and we look at the various applications of submit, one of the aspects of submit is someone who is going to give an account for you. In other words, how you are behaving toward them or toward the Lord. They're going to give an account. And I always look at that verse and say, wow, you just have to kind of meditate on that God has put people into your life and my life that are going to give an account to the Lord on how you behaved. And all God's people said, oh boy. But the truth is, folks, I just want you to understand, that's what the word means. That's what the word means. That's what, and it's described there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7, in the clearest words in the English that you can get to. Now, there's another word in the Greek that is used and is translated by a different Greek word that is translated the same. The same word as submit. In other words, in the Greek, there are more words that give more details and flavor to this term, to this concept. In English, we don't have that many words. We don't have a different word. So the translation into English is the same word, submit. So in some cases, what I'm really getting down to here, in some cases in the English translation, the word submit means someone who's going to give an account. And the other word is the one, it's a military term, and it means to line up under. So it's like in a military case where you have soldiers who are in an army, and you have captains, you have colonels, you have so forth. People are lined up under the authority of someone else in that. So there's a string of submission. Do you understand what I'm saying here? That word that is translated submit is a word that means to line up under. To line up under. There is another word that means one who is going to give an account to the Lord for behavior, your behavior. So we're going to kind of jump back and forth between those two words because they're both translated, both concepts are translated in as one word in English. And I think one of the reasons why that is true is because both words in the Greek are communicating the same concept but with different details. And we'll kind of see that as we go through this. So, we're going to talk about submission. And as I was going through this study, I was impressed again, just kind of dumbfounded at how much content there is in the Word of God about submission. It's just everywhere. It is submission. Husbands and wives, parents and children, everyone to government. It just goes on. The Lord just gives details on everything. He wants us to understand why we should behave, how we should behave. And I want to just give you a kind of a thought. I want you to think about this. If you and I have a desire to satisfy the will of the Lord. Everybody with me? If you have a desire to just do and be what the Lord wants you to be, then you need to listen to this lesson about submitting. Because this is all about His will. It's all about His will. Everything. So, to start out, just to make clear that this applies to you. I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you have been in the church, in not in the church, whether you're married, not married, whether you're widowed, not widowed, whether you have children, whether you are children, doesn't matter. Look at verse 21. Who's who here? What's it say? So who does that leave out? Nobody. Nobody. I want you to understand that, because when we go through this, the first thing that Paul gives the details on, and I want you to understand this, it's all based on verse 21. God wants us all to submit to one another. Now we'll talk a little bit about how that plays out. But then he starts giving details. And he gives three verses that detail what verse 21 means for a wife. Just period. For a wife. Then he gives 10 verses for the details of the responsibility for a husband. So, wives, you can take some comfort level at your own. The Lord has just given three details. Now, there are more. We're going to talk about more. He gives details about young wives. He gives details about husbands of any age. He gives details about widows and widowers. wives that have lost their husband, husbands that have lost their wives. He gives details. If you're not in any of those categories, he gives details of older women. Now, there's probably some in here that are older women, and please don't ask me to define that. Older women is a term that varies with age, not age of the person, but age. I'm using the wrong term here. An older woman was a different age range in the time when this scripture was written than it is today. We have new medications and things. We all live longer. So people that classify as older women are actually older than they were here. That doesn't matter. It's an older women is in the society that you're in. It's just older women. He talks about that. He talks about, what I'm saying is he talks about everything. He talks about children. He talks about how they should behave. And then there's all kinds of questions. Well, how old is the children still the children? There's all kinds of questions that we can ask and mostly I'm going to do the archer shuffle on them. So you can feel free to ask any questions you want. And if you give me equal freedom, I will answer, I don't know. So let's take a look at some of these verses and see if we can understand what the Lord is talking about here. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence to Christ. Now let me just kind of unpack that verse for just a minute. The verse says submitting to one another. That means that we are to submit to one another. I mean, I don't know how to explain that other than to just say submitting to one another. But the when he gives that command, the next thing he does is gives the reason. Submit to one another. Why? Out of reverence to Christ. Out of reverence to Christ. In other words, it is the will of Christ that you be submissive to one another. And I would just suggest to you this. If we all followed this instruction, if we did it, there would be no fights in the church. I have been in leadership positions in two churches, and I can tell you from experience in both cases, when there have been divisions in the church, splits, this, that, and the other thing, sometimes they're small issues, sometimes they get bigger, sometimes churches are destroyed, literally destroyed. There used to be a church there, and now there's flowers growing around the front door. You know, there's nobody there. When those things happen, I guarantee you that when you go back and search through the history of it, you will find this verse was the problem. They did not submit to one another. In verse 21... Here's what usually is the case. Well, I would submit to Joe. I'll pick a name. I would submit to Joe, but he's wrong. And I'm not going to submit on that because I'm right. And we're going to find that there's only one issue that really qualifies for the I am right, he's wrong. So let's go on and see what else is involved here. How should we give thanks and submit? This was the last question that we talked about in our last study, and that is we give thanks always, and we give thanks for everything to the Father in Jesus' name. And remember in our last class time, we had Bob said that was something that he had not understood, that we are to pray to the Father, but we are to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. So that's the hierarchy, if you will, right now. So what does that suggest? Even before we look at the scripture verses, what does that suggest about the relationship between Jesus and the Father? Do you see my hands here? What is that? That is a submission. Jesus is submitted to the Father. So when you start thinking about submission and this whole concept of being ranked under, and the next verse is wives submit to your husbands, and immediately at that point the shackles go up and we have all kinds of issues and say, well, you don't understand my husband, and boy, that's true. But I want you to understand that Jesus submitted to the Father. You remember in the garden? On his knees, he prayed to the Father three times, Father, if there is any way that I can do your bidding without going through what I know is coming, please let that be. And for three times, the Father said no, and Jesus finally said, not my will, but yours be done. Now, there aren't many situations that you and I are ever going to face that are in that category, where we have to submit, knowing that it's not something that we have done. We're not guilty, but we have to submit to the punishment because it's the Father's will. Submission is a thing that is very difficult sometimes. And it's really nice when it's easy. And it isn't always easy. So the second question there is, what does submit mean? And that's Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. For those of you who are technically involved, and I know there are a lot of people here that study Greek and know Greek. I'm not one of them. But the Greek word is what is down there on your sheet. It's hupeko, and it means to yield or submit as those who watch over your souls and are going to give an account. And so there's a sense that when he talks about verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, that's the word that is used there in that phrase. So what it is saying is that the husband has watch over the souls of the wives. There's as much responsibility and as much burden in this for the husband as it is for the wife. The husband has got to steer and shape the environment for the wife so that she will have a good report before the Lord. That's what that verse is saying. Now, on this next part of your sheet, I put down some examples here. And the reason I did this is I'm trying to make sure that as we go through the next part of Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5 starts out with submission for everybody. Then it goes to submission of the wife to the husband. Then it goes to the whole details of what the responsibility of the husband is. Then it goes to the parents and their and the children and the responsibility of the children to be submissive to the parents. Those children need to be taught that, and they need to do it, and they need to understand what the penalties are, what the rewards are. Then it goes on in other verses, in other chapters, it talks about how we are to be submissive to the government, those that God puts over us. It just goes on and on and on. And I guarantee you that as we look at these passages, and these are not the only passages, I tried to narrow these this down so it would fit on one line, and not only that, so it would fit this class and the kinds of things that all of us are involved in. So this list of examples, there's no questions or anything. This is just to read through these examples and understand that these are all the same words. They're all about submission. They're all are there, and they have one of those two meanings: either someone who is going to give an account for their performance to the Lord at the judgment day, and the other one is to line up under. So, let's take a look at the first one. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 27 and 28. And somebody else look up Hebrews 2:8. We'll take those two and see what we can find there. 1 Corinthians 15, verses...
Put all things under his feet, for when he says all things are put under him, he is evident. All things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, and that God may be all in all.
Okay, so we haven't studied this for a while, but I just want to kind of give the summary here. God the Father is above all right now, and Christ is in submission to him. And there's going to come a point when everything, everybody is going to be in submission to him, to Christ. Now that isn't true today, right? I mean, we have people that are ungodly people that don't believe in God. All that may be true today, but there's coming a day when everybody is going to be in submission to Christ. And Christ is in submission to whom? The Father. And then there is coming a point where God the Son and God the Father are going to be one. And there isn't going to be a submission. They are going to be one. Just exactly. Now, that's not true today in the same sense that it's going to be true at the end. So, this whole thing of submission is, I mean, it isn't, usually when this term submission comes up in a church, it's usually, well, wives need to be subject to their husband. Well, that's true. But there is so much more. And the important point in this is that submission is not something that God talks about. It is something that He does. Do you understand the difference? He not only tells us what He wants us to do, He does it. He does it. Hebrews 2:8.
And put everything under His feet. In putting everything under Him, God left nothing that is not subject to Him. Yet at present, we do not see everything subject to Him.
Yeah, so that's talking about the subjection to Christ. And it says that God the Father has put everything under His feet. But we do not today see everything under His feet. But I'll tell you what, folks. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Pardon?
It says every knee.
Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. Luke 2:41-51. There's a very interesting situation here. And when you put that this situation in the context that we're talking about, it's like, wow, really? Luke 2:41-51.
Parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it, but supposed him to have been in the company. They went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them.
Keep going.
Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart.
So, can you get the picture here?
Mm-hmm. It was a season of them understanding his purpose, his true purpose.
But from a human standpoint, the other side of this too is, do you understand the anxiety that his parents had?
Yes.
They were, I mean, it's like you're in the biggest mall in America and your kids are right with you, and then all of a sudden you turn around and they're gone. And when you find them, you really chew them out. Do you not understand? You're not. And that's what happened here. His mother and father finally found him, and they came to him and said, "Son, why have you done this?" And what was the final reaction of Jesus to his parents? What did he do? What's the word? He submitted to them. He submitted to them. Now, you know, you just got to think about this for a minute.
Verse 51, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth. He was subject to them.
Yep, he was subject to them. He submitted to them. And you got to say to yourself, well, now, why did he do that?
Because he was in the flesh.
Because he was what? He was under them.
Yes.
He was under their authority. He was the child. They were the parents. And he was submissive to them. And in this particular case, were they right? Sort of right. From a human standpoint, they were right, but obviously from a spiritual standpoint, they were not. But it is very interesting that this same word that we're going to be talking about here for the wives and then the husbands and all that is the same true. It's applied to Christ. There's the standard. There's the standard. Look at Luke chapter 10, verse 17.
The 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.
So, now isn't that interesting? The same word is applied to demons to the disciples. They were ranked up under. You see that? They were submissive. And they came back and they were just so thrilled about that. And look at verse 20.
Now the last verse do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. That rejoice that your names are written in heaven.
Yeah. They were getting so excited and they were just so elated over the fact that the demons were in subjection to them. I mean, this was unheard of. And they were just amazed and they were, you know, talking about it. And Jesus said, look, the important thing here is you need to understand that your names are written in heaven. And what's he talking about there? He's talking about their salvation. Your names are written in heaven. That's what's important here. Not, don't get excited about the fact that the demons are in submission to you. And by the way, they were only in submission to you because here's this thing that I like. Somebody gave me this illustration a long time ago, and I thought, well, that's really good. It's like the situation on the playground between Johnny and the bully. And the bully is there, and Johnny says, you need to stop this. And the bully turns around and runs. And you say, why? It was because his older brother was standing behind him. And his older brother was 6'9". And Johnny didn't do it. It was his older brother. And that's the reason the demons, and I'm just using this as an illustration, that's the reason the demons were in subjection to them, is because Christ was standing behind them. And that's a picture of submission. That's a picture of submission. We need to submit to one another because Christ is behind it. He is behind the other person. He is behind you. If you are in Christ, He has joined us together. Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. I knew we weren't going to get through all this. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. This is all about us and government. And boy, I'll tell you, this is really... But, okay, let's read this verse, then we'll talk a little bit about it. Romans 13, 1 through 7.
Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do your good, to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant, an agent of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but because of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes for the authorities, for the authorities are God's servants, who give their full time to governing. Give everything, everyone, what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor.
We usually don't think of tax time as being a time when we are submissive, but it is. And the verse that was just read is, therefore, you should be submissive to the authorities that are over you. Even when they're wrong? Well, it depends. It depends if they're wrong because they are commanding you to violate the Word of God. Then you don't have to obey them. But if that's not the case, obey. Submit. And by the way, the government that was in place when this was written, what was that government? The Roman Empire. Yeah. Submit. That's what it says. Submit to the Roman Empire. Well, I mean, I think they're Titus 3:1.
Remind them to be subject to rulers, to authorities, and to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed.
Remind them to be subject to the authorities. And James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10.
And he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart. You double-minded, lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will give you life.
So, it's interesting in that verse that the two concepts are tied together. The first one is submit. We've already studied that. We kind of get the idea of that. Submit, and what's the other one that's in there? And be humble. And truly, as we looked at this whole string of submit, it almost always means that you are going to have to be humble. Because you can't do it if you're not humble.
did in the garden.
Yeah. Yeah. So the reason I went through this, and I'm actually going to put this in somewhere along the line in our studies as we go forward here for the next probably three or four lessons, where we're just looking at things where we have to be submissive, or be submissive. We can just kind of remind ourselves of these. We submit because it is God's will. We submit because who is the pattern for it? The Lord. The Lord is the pattern. God the Father, God the Son are the pattern to show us how to do it. So what is the overall submission guide for all believers? You look at 5:21, and what is the overall submission guide? Chapter 5, verse 21. Submit to who? Everybody. Submit to everybody. Paul talks about this in so many of his letters. He warns them that if they are not submissive, if they are not just being humble with one another, that the consequences are going to be dire. God will judge, and at the same time, there will be physical calamity that will happen. Sometimes it is the calamity between husband and wife. Sometimes it's between parents and their children. Sometimes it's between people and their government. You just go on and on. But you violate this, and you do so at your own risk. We are all to submit to one another. Let's take a look at... the next question is, who is the ultimate example of submission? And I would like to have you look at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 through 28. We already read those verses. And who is the example there? It is Christ. It is Christ. He is the example. Christ is the example himself, submitting to his parents, and then to, and also to his father, who is his co-equal. There is something that is very interesting about this. So many times, this whole thing about submission is all tied up to the concept that the submission is because of an inequality. But the whole example here is Christ and the Father, right? Mm-hmm. Now, how does that fit with inequality? There is no inequality. I and the Father are one, co-equal. John chapter 1, it says, describes Christ and the Father as being face to face. Remember, we looked at that study. Face to face, they are equal. Equality has not anything to do with submission.
I think what needs to be brought out is that much of these verses have to do with Christ was in human form acting under the Father.
Absolutely. But even now,
how do you do it?
Whoa!
It sounds like it
was. That sounds sounds like it's time to end the class. That is absolutely true, but it is also true right now, and it will be true until the end, because not everything is in submission to Christ. When everything is in subjection to Christ, Christ will be in submission to the Father in that sense, and everything then becomes one. So, yes, you're right. Absolutely. It applies to what's today. Well, we're just about at the end of our time here for today. The ultimate example of submission. And then we're going to get started on what is the lesson for today, which will be next week, obviously. So we'll be talking a little bit of review here, and we're going to be talking about three verses in Ephesians 5 that are instructing wives, and 9 that are instructing husbands. So, if you just look at the number of verses, what does that imply?
Husbands need more instruction.
That's exactly right. Husbands need more instructing. That is exactly right.
And support.
And we'll have no more input from you. No, that is exactly true. And it is the part of teaching this Ephesians chapter 5 chapter of husbands and wives that is often overlooked. Possibly because us husbands are the ones that do the teaching, so we can teach the first three verses and just kind of forget about the other part. But we're not going to do that here. We're going to cover the whole thing, Lord willing. And I hope to see you here next week, and we'll pick that up and discuss wives. And I think I have some stuff in here about older women and widows and all that too. It's just it's all in the scripture. It's just a case of putting it together. So let's do that. Father, thank you. With all our hearts, we thank you for the fact that this whole concept that's wrapped up in the word submission, this whole concept is you. It is you from the very beginning. Before the foundation of the earth was laid, the plan was for Christ to submit and die for us. We don't deserve anything but judgment. But we are under grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Father, thank you for the gift of grace. Thank you for the Lord Jesus, who was submissive to you to purchase our salvation. And may you, by your Spirit, teach us how to submit so that we can be pleasing to you. I pray this with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week, Lord willing.
So, I've...